Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studios, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf, and today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, and don't forget about our Let It Be Solar hotline, Let It Be Solar powering our phone lines at 1-800-795-9565. Bill O'Brien announcing today that Matt McGloin is the starting quarterback. Paul Jones is two. Rob Bolden, three. Curtis Dukes is with the football team, active and working out, as is Bolden. Curtis Drake is off the team and with no hope of any return. And Ryan, I believe, has some questions for us online.
It does indeed. Question number one. The final results of the quarterback poll we had a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Final results of the quarterback poll had Paul Jones at 55%. McGloin was at 45%. Bolden didn't have any votes.
And I believe there was no votes as well for someone else.
Right.
Although that was a little bit late that we added that one. What would you say are McGloin's strongest attributes that make him a viable starting quarterback?
Attributes are as follows. He has the best handle in the offense so far. It's an offense that really suits him because there's a lot of pitch and catch in this offense. Please do not even remotely begin to judge the offense by what you saw in the blue-white game. That was vanilla, 5-6 pass plays max. That's not the offense I watched for the previous 14 practices. He knows where everybody's supposed to be. He has the ability to get them into the right play. And once he gets them into the right play as the throwing quarterback, he has the ability to really do a lot of really good things, pitch and catch in this offense. He completed between 65 and 70 as well, because now they have an established leader. They're going through the winter, the summer workouts. Leadership manifests itself in the summer workouts when the players have to do so many things on their own. They now have a starting quarterback that can organize those workouts and make it happen for them. And again, his attributes are field vision is good. It's really improved. He knows how to get you into the right play at the right moment. He has a complete handle on the offense as to what they want to do with the offense and why. He understands where everybody's supposed to be lining up. And I'd say for the most part, he has a pretty good handle on where all the 21 chess pieces around him are on offense and defense. I think his arm strength's also a little bit better than it was a year ago, too. So that's what he brings to the table. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Let's continue on. Patrick Chambers, earlier today at Coaches versus Cancer.
How's it impacting with respect to recruiting?
Well, right now it's good. It's good time because it's a quiet period. We do have
it that way.
Yeah, and we do have, you know, we have recruits on campus, so we just have to manage and you know, time manage well and properly, getting to different places before the kids get there.
In a little bit of an odd way, does it help you as a coach when you've gone through something like this? Because now you'll understand and be more sympathetic.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Totally, it brought me back to when I had my MCLs, and now you understand what they have to go through. And it's really mental, because you're going to get through the physical part eventually, but then it's the mental part. Do you trust it? Can you bend it? Do you want to put weight on it? Are you going to be able to walk? Like, things like that. And I think that's what Sasha went through this year. I mean, Sasha wore that huge brace. He didn't trust it. You know, because mentally it takes its toll on you. Like, I'm not sure yet. But now, you know, during the spring workouts, he looks phenomenal because he trusts it now. But it takes you a good year. So you got to remember, like, any ACLs, any Achilles-type injuries, that takes a long time, 6 to 8 months, it takes you even that much longer to get it back mentally. So, yeah, you're right for it.
We talked last night about the high bar that the previous coaches set with this event.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a challenge to try to keep this thing moving?
No.
In such a positive way.
You're exactly right. I mean, Coach Barco started it. Jerry and Ed DeChellis really kept it going, doing a great job raising close to $2 million, hopefully $2 million after this is done. And it's a class event. It's a premier event. I mean, you see how it's run, you see how it's organized, you see the sponsors. It's really amazing. So there is some pressure on you to keep it going, to keep it fresh, and to make sure you're out front, make sure everybody knows. I want to be involved. I'm going to be here. I'm in this for the long haul as far as this event is concerned. And we want to keep it this way, first class, and keep the community involved. So it's important to me.
Would you have been golfing if not for this?
I would definitely be golfing. Probably in the afternoon. So I know the weather's going to hold up for us. I'm very optimistic. So next year, I said it this morning, next year my goal is to be in one of the foursomes. It used to be pretty good. I just told a quick story. I'll tell it to you guys. When I took the job at Villanova, Jay Wright said, one last thing before, he goes, I'm going to hire you, but one last thing before I hire you. I said, what's that, coach? He said, get rid of your golf clubs. Because I was playing a lot. I was in sales. And I was down to like a 12, 11 handicap. So I was really playing well. So I got rid of my golf club. So obviously my golf game, like, right in the tank. But I can swing a little bit. It's been a while.
Coach, do you have any plans to improve what we've started here with Coaches vs. Cancer? Any way to grow the amount of sponsors and sales?
You know, that's a great, like I said to the committee, let me just see what it is first. Let me digest it, and let me see how it's run. And then once this is all over, we're going to go back to the drawing board. You have one of those post-committee meetings. And you kind of sit down and say, how can we make it better? How can we improve it? Who can we reach out? How can we get other celebrities or captains involved? And again, sponsorships, more sponsorships. So we need to do that. And today's a great start because Bill O'Brien's going to be a big part of this, and I'm excited about that. And I'm, you know, I'm thankful that he's going to, you know, this is his first year here, and he's going to be a part of this for a long time.
Where are you guys at in terms of setting your schedule? Are you almost done with that?
Yeah, we're getting very close. I mean, I talked about the Puerto Rico event. We got some great teams, Oklahoma State, Tennessee, Providence, UMass. Just a class level of teams going to be in Puerto Rico. You guys already know we play BC. I think it's been out there. We're going to play Bucknell. I know everybody thinks I'm crazy for doing a 2-for-1, but I think it's going to be great for the area. And you know, we're going to try to keep doing that. We're going to play a Philly team. We're going to play in the Palestra. Versus LaSalle, who's projected to be top four, top five in the A-10. So we're going to keep the Duquesne thing going. It seemed like that was a tradition here for a while. They just playing home and homes every year. So the schedule's coming together.
Well, Bill told us he wants to play a marquee game every year. Do you want to get to a point where you do that, like a marquee non-conference game, maybe a pit with somebody?
Yeah, well, you know, that's something that Jamie and I are in the middle of talking about. I don't know if it's going to happen. It's definitely not going to happen this year, but maybe in the future. Another one, I talked to Coach Huggins from West Virginia, maybe get that going again, because I know back in the day, I've talked to some former players that used to play West Virginia all the time, so maybe get that back into the fold. But when you have the Big Ten ACC Challenge, you hope that could be a marquee game. It seems like, you know, when you get 5 or 6 BCS games, it's a lot. It's a lot for a team, a Division I team.
How about St. Francis?
Yeah, we're going to play St. Francis. We are going to play St. Francis. Again, the thing that I always learned from Villanova, even though they're in the Big Five, it was to play the local teams because it brings more fans out. And it's good because those kids are usually from that area. So it's kind of like a, you know, rivalry, and all summer long they're competing versus each other, playing versus, picked up together and things like that, summer leagues. So I think it's good for everybody.
What's that? Is it a one-time thing, or is it, do you have
a... Yeah, right now it's a one-time thing. But, we're, you know, case to case, year to year, we'll see how it goes.
Is the Bucknell game going to be here this year?
The next 2 years it'll be here, the third year that they're close.
Patrick, being here a year now,
you're
starting to get into the number things like this, you're just calling you.
Former players, yeah. I just met Jared Stevens last night for the first time, and as soon as he walked up, I go, I know you're Jared Stevens, number 35. He looked at me and goes, how'd you know me? I go, I was a huge fan. I was a big fan of his. I used to watch Penn State basketball all the time. So getting to see him, and obviously Glenn's out on the course, and some of the guys I mentioned last night are in the training room with me, like Joe Crispin, Tyler Smith, Andrew Jones, Jeff Brooks is back, guys that I didn't coach but relatively still young out of college. So you're developing great relationships, Calvin Booth. So it's going. I wanted to get better, but like Corey and I talked about on his radio show yesterday, there's a tradition here that nobody knows about. Now we're starting to talk about it because there are guys here coming back to these events, coming to the training room, working out. So it's great.
Patrick Chambers. Again, the scheduling news. And for local fans, Bucknell. Bucknell will be on Penn State's schedule at the Jordan Center in 2012, at the Jordan Center in 2013, but in Lewisburg 2014 in a 2-for-1. Another staid, stoic lack of news day for all of us.
You got to get some more information in this program.
Again, it's been embarrassing. I want to tell you right now, I'm embarrassed, and I apologize on behalf of the entire station. We did not mean to have Patrick Chambers on today talking about playing Bucknell 2-for-1, and we didn't mean to have Bill O'Brien on talking about Matt McGloin, Paul Jones, Rob Bolden, Duke, Strake, and so forth. All right, Rick in Lock Haven calling us on the Lenape Solar Hotline, hotline powered by Lenape Solar. Rick, what is on your sports mind today, my friend?
Well, I was wondering if by chance if you gentlemen happened to see the halftime entertainment of the Spurs-Oklahoma game number 2. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it.
I jumped in the third quarter, so I missed it.
This guy... Now, you figure what an NBA ticket goes for. This guy they had, and the camera zoomed in on him close, was playing his drumsticks on the floor, just about half court. And then he goes and sits down and starts beating on some empty drywall buckets, and he knocked one over, and Barkley kept saying, "You got to be kidding me."
This is terrible.
At that point, I put my glasses on, and I thought, I can't believe it. So I just thought that was just unbelievably cheap. But another thing I wanted to
wait. This was actually this was the entertainment. This wasn't somebody just running out doing that.
Oh no, this was all propped up. And
wow,
everything. I couldn't believe it. When I played drums as a kid, my father ran a bar, and we used the empty Pyrex tins that the lard came in, and they sounded pretty good, but. I was embarrassed to tell anybody about that, but now I'm kind of proud. But anyway, that was something I couldn't believe with my eyes. And the other thing I couldn't believe with my ears yesterday was Dan Patrick had Anthony Davis on. And that cat told Dan, because he had asked him about going in and seeing Calipari, you know, about staying in school, and he said, "Oh, no, Coach told me I had to go. I couldn't stay." And that just blew me away that guy would tell him he had no choice, which the point I'm going to make is for a while there in the tournament, Bobby Knight would not say Kentucky, and he was getting a lot of flack about it. They were writing about it in the spice rack in the USA Today Sports. And I knew why, because he was totally against Calipari's illegal activities, which he was reprimanded, and he was still coaching. But that serves the point that Calipari is just in that position for his own ego to win championships. I don't think he cares about players. He promises these blue-chip players, yeah, you come in, you're going to play, because he's going to clean house every year. And all she's worried about is his ego, saying how many championships he got. I couldn't believe that.
Rick, I'm going to disagree with you on this.
Good.
And the reason I'm going to disagree with you on this is as follows. If I'm the head basketball coach of Kentucky, and Anthony Davis comes up to me, and I know he's going to be the first overall pick in the draft, and he can be set financially for life, I tell him to go.
Oh, I understand that. But to not leave the option open, to me, is baffling. Because, first of all, you might not last in the pros, and then what do you have? Not a darn
thing. A lot
of
money. Well, he'll have a lot of money. He'll be the first overall pick in the draft.
That doesn't mean nothing, Jonesy. We know how many people. Look at J.R. Richard. That cat was living under a bridge. He made a lot of money. I understand your perspective on it, but to me, I would, Bobby Knight, likes it when kids stay. Anthony Davis was really good at Kentucky. He's going to struggle in the pros for a while.
He'll be a good shot blocker. He will not be a great scorer. He'll be
a good shot blocker.
Yeah, he'll be an okay scorer. He'll be a decent rebounder. He'll be an excellent shot blocker. It'll take him a while to. He will not turn New Orleans around. Personally, they'll be better with him. But if I'm the head coach, I would take the same approach Dean Smith took. And I would lay out the option to them every single year and say, look, if you're the first overall pick in the draft, or you're going to be one of the top seven or eight guys taken in the draft, I would encourage them to go to the draft because
you don't want to hold them back.
And I think when it comes to recruiting, and I'm not saying Calipari does this because I've never been a big John Calipari guy.
Me neither.
But I think, though, as a coach, when you then go out to recruit subsequently, they know that you'll be giving them an honest answer when they say, should I go to the pros or not? So if you come to me, Rick, and you say, Coach, what do you think? And I tell you, no, Rick, I don't think you're ready yet. It may be hard for you to hear, but at the same time, you'll say, well, you know what? He's not just saying it for his own good because he's told other guys to go.
Yeah, you're right. Another thing, if I have a second, you were saying something. It was on one of the advertisements of your show, and you were saying about Notre Dame never has a fast, speedy defense.
Yeah, they're really not lately.
I'm wondering, when Paul Hornung raised all that havoc about the university making the standards so stiff for people to get in, football players, that I had read once where, and this sounds biased, but the defensive players didn't have as good of SAT scores and everything. And I'm wondering if he was on to something, saying lower the standards, maybe we can get some of these kids that end up at Ohio State, Miami, whatever. Maybe I'm way off base, but there was a reason why he was so upset.
I think you make an interesting point, Rick. I think what we've seen, though, with Notre Dame is that when they have been able to get a quality athlete, there's been a tendency for them to take that quality athlete, and there's nothing wrong with this, of putting that athlete on offense. Thus, they've had some good speed at tailback. They've had some very good wide receivers. And I think they've had more of a tendency to take their better athletes and put them on offense. Now, Joe Paterno over the years had a tendency, especially early in his career, to take his better athletes and put them on defense.
And
it just depends on coaching philosophy. And I think what you've seen with Notre Dame coaches in recent years is they've had a tendency to put their better athletes on offense. Thus, Notre Dame has had some pretty good offenses in recent years, but it has taken away what their overall team speed is on defense, and thus that's where they've been vulnerable.
Good point. Hey, I just want to say you're talking about McGoin. I wish him all the best, but I always thought the most important attribute for a quarterback, and of course you would know this, is accuracy.
Yes.
And that's something, you know, you never have mastered, but I think if that becomes a reality, he'll do okay. We've never really watched him because my mother would always want to sit on the porch and listen to what she called ham and eggs. She used to call you eggs. Ham and eggs.
My new nickname.
Yeah, and she's since passed, but you know what? I'm so superstitious. Every day game, whether I'm a painter by trade, if I'm working that Saturday, I have you on the radio, but at nighttime, I don't get the signal as well, and we watch it on TV. But I always enjoy hearing you and Jack. As Mom said, I want some ham and eggs. Turn the radio on. Hey, have a great weekend.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Rick, my new nickname. And you know what's really bad about that? Is I'm allergic to eggs. We'll come back with more at 1-800-795-9565. Rick calling us today on the hotline powered by Lenape Solar. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on WKOK.
With the eggs show.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month. And it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury has all your summer partying needs. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And did I mention they have beer? Brewers Outlet has a huge selection of imports and microbrews, some incredible deals, and they're a great beverage shoppable store. Fresh roasted peanuts daily, and check this out, a new Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the summer, and don't forget the beer.
Welcome back. Our number 1-800-795-9565 being brought to you today by Brewers Outlet, located at Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage superstore. As always, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Had some great calls today so far. Matt McGloin named today starting quarterback with Paul Jones, number two. For Bill O'Brien, we heard him in the 3:30 half hour, along with Patrick Chambers. Bucknell, 2-for-1, 12 and 13 here, 14 in Lewisburg. Sarah Bartlett next with the news, bottom of the hour. Another half hour to go before we get to the weekend on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Today being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And now, our phone line is powered by Lenape Solar. At 1-800-795-9565.
I got to find a sound effect for that when you say that.
My friend, they are jumping on the show left and right. This is great. All right. The poll. You have a comment, I believe, what, from Facebook?
Yes, there was a Facebook comment.
And Penn State.
Mm-hmm. The question we asked was, should Penn State and Pitt play every year? And Sherry says, yes, they should. And Rich said, yes, although he thinks it's going to take some time to rebuild the rivalry the way it was. I would agree with that part of it. It's going to take some time to rebuild the rivalry, that's for sure.
There isn't any.
The thought of a rivalry?
Right. You can't have a rivalry if you're not playing. And this leads to what our poll results are so far.
Yes, overall we're at play every year times at.
That's the logical part of this, and this will also dovetail into what Patrick Chambers was talking about scheduling. Again, let's get to very quickly. I don't want to gloss over it, but again, the news, and we had Bill O'Brien on an hour ago. Matt McGloin, starting quarterback. Penn State, Paul Jones, number two. Rob Bolden, yes, here working out as number three. Curtis Dukes has rejoined the team academically. He made it through the spring. He has rejoined the team, and he's working out with them. Meanwhile, Curtis Drake off the team, no chance of coming back to go along with Sean Oakman, who was already in that boat. Evan Hale's blood clot will not participate. He'll be around the football team every day, but will not participate. He'll probably release a depth chart next Tuesday. That will be a preseason depth chart heading into August. They're going through meetings right now. concentration on the staff, first two games, Ohio University, Virginia. Patrick Chambers talking about scheduling. Nothing in there unfamiliar. They open with St. Francis. They're going to play LaSalle at the Palestra. They're going to play Duquesne here. They're in the Puerto Rico tournament. There's one other game they're trying to get at the Barclays Center where the Brooklyn Nets are going to play. They're trying to do this just before Christmas. They don't have that solidified yet. But the big news for area fans is that Bucknell is back on Penn State's schedule in a 2-for-1. They will play 2012 at the Jordan Center, 2013 in the Jordan Center, but 2014 will be in Lewisburg. And Penn State hasn't played in Lewisburg in 50 years. So that's the news of the day in a capsule from this little part of the world. As for Penn State and Pitt, I want to get to Patrick Chambers was talking about scheduling, and they were talking about scheduling more BCS teams. This Puerto Rico tournament, for example, has in it Oklahoma State, Tennessee, NC State, Providence, Penn State, Southern Mississippi, and I want to say Akron, and there's one more. All right, so it's a quality field, very good field. He talked about playing BCS teams, and he and Jamie Dixon have been trying to talk about a home and away with Pitt in basketball. Haven't worked it out yet. But there is something that has to be considered in this, and something he did not talk about, but I will talk about. And it goes back to the agreement with the Pac-12. We cannot forget that in the scheduling element. Supposedly, the agreement with the Pac-12 starts in basketball in the 13-14 season. So you'll have a designated Pac-12 game and a designated ACC challenge game. You already have two. And in football in 2017, you're supposed to start having Pac-12 games as your opener on Labor Day weekend. And you don't know yet whether that's home or away, and that you need the 7 home games. So scheduling is not an easy proposition. I think a lot of people think is that you may wave a magic wand and suddenly, hey, great, basketball. We've got Kentucky and we've got Duke and it doesn't work that way. Same thing in football. Those four games at the beginning, you have to come up with a balance that financially works for you. That's why the 7 home games is so important, because of the financial balance that you need from your football schedule to make that happen. Sometimes you have to play a guarantee to get a guarantee game. Sometimes you get a megawatt game, a home and away like Penn State, Alabama. Right? But that Pac-12 agreement is something that hovers over these schedules right now, because you're not sure yet who you're playing in 2017 and where is the game going to be played. And in basketball, I don't think they're going to do home and aways with the Pac-12 like they did with the ACC. I think you might see four triple headers. And I'll just randomly pick four locations. Triple header at Staples Center in Los Angeles. Triple header at Rose Garden in Portland. Triple header at Ford Field or the Palace of Auburn Hills near Detroit. And a triple header at the United Center in Chicago. I think that's what you might see, because Fox owns 51% of the Big Ten Network, and they're also the television provider for the Pac-12. For Fox, as the television provider, it would save them a tremendous amount of money by having triple headers. And I also think it would be interesting for everybody anyway, because, say, for example, Penn State is at the Palace of Auburn Hills, and Penn State's going to play UCLA. Well, you might see Michigan State then in action as a Penn State fan, Michigan State taking on Arizona. And you might see Michigan, for example, taking on Stanford as part of the triple header. I think that sounds pretty intriguing. So that's what, that's looming. And something that when it comes time to schedule for basketball, you're going to have at least one ACC game, and you're going to have at least one Pac-12 game. And in football, you're going to have at least a Pac-12 game to go with already your eight Big Ten games. That enters into what you're doing with the rest of your schedule. If Penn State, for example, in 2017 is designated to play USC, but it's in Los Angeles, the other three non-conference games have to be here. Now, something that also enters into this that is a problem is that the Pac-12 plays nine conference games. They only have three openings. Take, for example, USC. They already have Notre Dame on their schedule. They only have two other openings that they can take care of. They have Notre Dame every year in their schedule. They only have two openings. Stanford, for the most part, has been playing Notre Dame every year on their schedule. They only have two openings. So the Pac-12, schedule-wise, does bring with it some problems because they have nine conference games, and you already have some long, deep-seated rivalries. But I think if you ask the USC fans, who would you rather play, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, or Notre Dame? Notre Dame might finish fourth. And I think part of that would be the newness of having Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State on the schedule. I think, you know, the novelty of it.
I would think Penn State would be intriguing because of the support nationwide for the team.
Oh, you'd think. But again, this is an agreement between the Big Ten and the Pac-12. They have to make it work.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking. That would make sense from a television rating standpoint.
Well, right. I think, well, you're going to want to have intriguing television matchups. I mean, that's the whole purpose of putting this together. I think you want to see Penn State play Oregon. You want to see USC play Michigan. You want to see Washington play Michigan State. Ohio State play UCLA. You want to have, Ohio State play Stanford.
Just as long as when they play it out west, they don't play it at an 8 o'clock start time. I hate those 8 o'clock kickoffs.
Where? In the east?
Well, when they kick off at 8 o'clock in the east, yeah. I mean, but obviously if it's played out west, the start time out west will be different. But when it starts off at like 8 o'clock at night here, those are tough games to...
Past your bedtime?
It is a little bit. I do get a little bit heavy-eyed by the time the fourth quarter rolls around. And then if it turns into an Orange Bowl game, oh, man, it was a great game, but it was killing me the next day.
It's past your bedtime.
That's it. That's exactly right.
What if, for example,
Don't say Hawaii.
What if the Grand Prix of Chattanooga was on with IndyCar?
The Grand Prix of Chattanooga. The Grand Prix of Chattanooga.
With IndyCars. How heavy-eyed are you now?
Listen, I will tell you this. You know the race they used to have in Japan? They ran that live at 2 in the morning. I did not wake up at 2 in the morning to watch that. I used my DVR.
What a proud moment for your wife. Our number 1-800, that's 1-800-795-9565. And our phone line is powered by Lenape Solar, and our show today brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We'll come back with more of your calls at 1-800-795-9565 on WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month. And it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one.
So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
Wow, Tigers in a four-way tie for first.
Yeah, I should bring out the breaking news sounder.
This is just great. Wow.
This will give ESPN something to talk about for
hours. No, really. No, this is great. I mean, all the good things have happened for the four-letter mothership. I mean, you name it. I mean, Tigers in first place. LeBron's playing tonight against the Celtics. Kevin Durant and the Thunder won last night. It's just, this is the greatest thing going for them.
Do they have stock in the NBA?
I have no idea.
There must be, because when the NBA leads no matter what, that makes you wonder a little bit if there's...
Well, there are two things. Have you noticed what I told you about top 10 plays?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I did take notice of that.
Every single top 10, there's always one what?
At least one NBA thing.
No, soccer.
Oh, soccer. Well, I was going to say NBA. I know there's at least one of those. I forgot to mention soccer.
Yeah, I told you. There's always one soccer because they have the soccer contract.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about soccer.
For World Cup, so they show one soccer top 10 every day. Every day. And they act like we're dumb and we haven't figured it out. All right, that's fine. I got it.
If that were the case, NBC Sports Network would be doing Olympic-style highlights every single day for the next 2 months.
I know, and they haven't.
Not yet.
I love college basketball. Love college basketball. You can't do what I've done for 30-plus years and not love college basketball.
You would hope not.
Love the speed of the game, how it's played, so forth. I'd rather watch a Stanley Cup game than an NBA game.
I can't Simple tell you what I'd rather watch besides an NBA game. Just about anything.
I'd rather watch a Stanley Cup game than an NBA game.
I mean, I tuned it in last night for a few minutes just because, you know, I figured there would be something that would end up talking about. So I tuned it in. I actually felt as though the NBA owed me some time in my life again.
You look at the NHL. They have stars. Sidney Crosby, Gino Malkin, Alex Ovechkin with the Capitals. They have stars. But you know what? The most important thing that you sense when you watch an NHL game is the team is bigger than the star. In the NBA, you sense the star is bigger than the team.
Oh, yeah. How can we feed the star every single play?
And one of the things I really do fault them with, ESPN, is the continued emphasis on the individual in the game of basketball. I mean, the nauseating Carmelo Anthony diatribe.
Spot shadowing everything.
No offense. He's a good basketball player and a good scorer. I mean, he's not a great player. He's not. He's good. He's not a great player. He doesn't make anybody around him better. You know, the golden era of the NBA was when you had Bird and Magic, then eventually Jordan. What did all three of those guys do? They played team basketball, and they made people around them better.
But they also played in an era where there was more than one particular star, and that's because of the fact that they played team basketball. You know, I made the comparison with the Chicago Bulls. Every guy had their own role on that team, and that's why everybody liked watching that team. I don't see that anymore. I don't see anything close to that anymore.
No.
It's how can we feed the highest paid player so, you know, the rest of us can win.
And it's not a fun game to watch in a lot of ways.
NBA, IndyCar, which would you watch?
Well, if it's the Indianapolis 500.
No. It's the Detroit Bell Isle Grand Prix.
NBA.
Oh.
That's not even a close call.
There's no hope for you.
I'd watch the Indianapolis 500.
After seeing that race, I still can't convert you.
No, you can't. I found out today my nickname was Eggs.
And when things don't go right, it's scrambled eggs.
Well, could be. But, yeah, Rick said his mom used to refer to us as, I want to listen to Ham and Eggs. Hey, I could be called worse and have. Yeah, the Indy car race of Johnson City, Tennessee, no.
No, that's Detroit Bell Isle Grand Prix this weekend. Yeah. You may want to check it out. It's a good course. Fun course.
No. There's no speed involved.
No. This course, I would beg to differ on this particular street circuit.
Right, are they going to run 200 miles an hour on the streets?
They will hit 170 on the back stretch, I guarantee it.
That's fine.
There is a long, long backstretch along the river.
I'd rather watch the NBA.
I give up.
I will watch the Memorial Golf Tournament before I watch that.
See, now that's something I'll watch the Masters. I'll watch the British Open, and I won't watch the whole. I won't watch 18 holes of coverage the way they do the British Open. But I will watch some of it, but I just can't watch an entire day of golf. And maybe it's not that I don't like the sport. I love the sport. And maybe it's because I want to go out and play, but I just can't watch it for an entire day.
I can watch the Masters.
Yes.
U.S. Open.
Sure.
British Open. PGA. Ryder Cup. And then I will watch a little bit of the Players, and I'll watch a little bit of the Memorial.
Yeah, I don't know if I watch the Players and the Memorial as much. I mean, I might flip around if there's nothing else, and then I'll watch it for a little bit. But now, and an IndyCar race, I could watch from beginning to end without a problem. Why is the difference? I don't know.
Well, I think both of you enjoy it.
I don't know. I've always wondered that. Why is it that I can watch one sport but not another even though I like them both?
Everybody has their own passion and what they enjoy, right? There are people listening to us right now that would, you know, they'll watch a Penn State football game no matter what. They'll watch an NFL game no matter what. And IndyCar, no. They wouldn't even watch the Indianapolis 500. Some people, NASCAR? Comes to NASCAR. I mean, I'll watch NASCAR. I'll watch the Daytona 500. I'll watch the Coca-Cola 600. I'll watch the Brick Card 400. That's it. Tennis, I'll watch Wimbledon. I'll watch the U.S. Open. I might see a little bit of the final of the Australian Open. I might see the final of the French Open. But I'll definitely watch Wimbledon, and I'll definitely watch the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll watch Wimbledon, too. I'll watch Wimbledon. French, U.S., maybe a little bit, but I would sit down. Yeah. And maybe it's because of the time of day that's on, too.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
You know, there's not a whole lot on at 8, 9 in the morning when I'm having breakfast, so that's easier to watch Wimbledon then.
Well, I know you've often waxed poetically about Sesame Street. So
I was an Electric Company kid.
Oh, brother. And don't think it doesn't show. We've had a lot of fun this week. Next week, Tom Hart, Big Ten Network, Dick Girardi at the Belmont Stakes. We're going to try and rehook up with Matt Adams of the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll just have Sarah take care of it this time.
Probably.
Because she'll
put a
vice grip on the phone. Okay? And we'll have a good time next week. Looking forward to it. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Kevo, great weekend.
Take care, bud.